Welcome back to Upstate's Health Link on Air. Linda Cohen along with you. Over 3 million reports of child abuse are made every year in the United States, and in 2009 alone, approximately 3.3 million child abuse reports and allegations were made involving an estimated 6 million children. You know, it's estimated that a report of child abuse is made every 10 seconds, and more than 5 children die every day as a result of child abuse. Well, April is National Child Abuse Prevention Month, and joining us this morning to tell us all about our local efforts to fight this epidemic are Dr. Ann Botash, Professor of Pediatrics at Upstate Medical University and a nationally recognized expert in child abuse evaluation, and Julie Cecil, Executive Director of the McMahon Ryan Child Advocacy Center. Welcome to you both. Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So to help us understand, when you look at those kinds of statistics, they're really staggering. What do they mean? What do they really mean?
Well, I think it means that we as a community need to do more to help our children. And we need to know those signs and symptoms of abuse and hopefully intervene on their behalf.
I look at the statistics and I think of all the cases of children that we've seen that actually don't make it to the statistics. They're not children that are necessarily reported, that there's a suspicion, or children that don't tell us what's happening to them.
So it's kind of a tip of the iceberg almost. I mean, that's only, yes. Those are the reports, but there's all... You can only imagine that there's a lot more taking place.
There's statistics out there that says that for every one that's reported, 10 go unreported.
Wow. That's pretty significant. So when we talk about child abuse, what are we really talking about? What constitutes child abuse?
When you look at those numbers and what we're counting, most of the time we're counting children who are being hurt in some way by their by a relative, by someone who's their caregiver. And those are the numbers that we count, and those are the numbers that go through Child Protective Services. Certainly there's other types of child abuse that encompass, you know, the neighbors who do things or strangers who do things, and those are more crimes. So the numbers are actually bigger also than the statistics.
That's interesting. That I'd never heard before. That's very interesting.
The numbers that we count are more familial types of abuse. We don't really do a good job of counting all of the cases that are also non-familial. And I think, you know, when you talk about abuse, it's injury to the child in some way or potential injury to the child.
So, and that includes sexual abuse.
So there's different types. There's physical abuse, sexual abuse, emotional abuse, and neglect. And, you know, all of those types overlap and all of those types can stand alone. And when you look at each of them within New York State, there's laws that describe what each really means. Neglect is the most common type of abuse, and it's, you know, because it encompasses a broad range. It's neglect, you know, not going to school, not getting your medication, not being fed, not being clothed. It could also just be a child who's living in a home where there are parents who are buying and selling drugs, and that's considered neglect, even though that child might be well-dressed and fed and going to school. So neglect is a very broad category, but is the largest category of abuse. Sexual abuse is a much smaller category, but it's, I think, the more difficult one, would you say, Julie, that to really diagnose and to prove and to, you know, make sense out of for, you know, regular people as well as people who do this work all the time.
Yeah, it's kind of a horrifying concept that a family member does this, but it does happen, obviously, in large numbers. So, Julie, who are the people identifying these cases? I mean, how do we find out about that? Obviously, Dr. Botash was saying that many cases go unrecognized. So
the majority of the people that are making those reports are mandated reporters that are making the hotline calls to Child Protective or the hotline, the state central registry. And they really are frontline people that are making those phone calls and protecting those kids and recognizing those signs and making those calls.
So when you say mandated, help us understand what that means.
It could be teachers, social workers, pediatricians, doctors, daycare providers. I kind of simplify it. Anyone that is in the business with children, for the most part, are mandated reporters.
So is that actually legally mandated? I mean, are they required? Because I know that's true of some professions.
It is true. If you go to the New York State Office of Children and Family Services website, there's a list of who the mandated reporters are, and it's required. If you have a license to do pretty much anything with children in New York State, so all the professions that Julie mentioned, but you could go to that website and actually look at the list and see if you're one of them. But you'll know if you're one of them. I mean, it's part of the licensing requirement for most of those areas that you learn how to do a report.
And hopefully part of your training, one would think, too, that if you're working with children to begin to recognize what could be the signs and symptoms. So help us understand, Julie, what are the signs and symptoms that people would, you know, recognize as signs of child abuse?
One of the things that I would like to say, though, is that a lot of times mandated reporters are only required to take that course one time. So there are mandated reporters out there that may have not had a refresher course. A lot of things have changed. Just a few years ago, the mandated reporter laws changed where a mandated reporter has to make, because they reasonably suspect, they have to make the phone call. They can't rely on a superior or to move it up the chain. They have to make that phone call, and that's really important.
So you're saying because they haven't refreshed their knowledge, they may not know that?
Correct. Yeah, and their policies and procedures, maybe in their employment, might not have refreshed them also. So it's really important that mandated reporters understand that it is really their responsibility to make those phone calls and not to rely on someone else.
Well, it's interesting because in a sense it's the lifeline for these kids to have someone not only be aware and recognize, because obviously the family wouldn't be reporting it, you know, if they're the perpetrators, and to actually take action and do the reporting, as you said.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of times we all worry, the team worries about school being out, because again, the biggest people that are making those calls are teachers. So when there's spring break or there's summer break, those kids aren't being seen every day by a mandated reporter. So we always worry about those breaks.
How did those national statistics that we talk about translate into our community?
We here in Onondaga County have an amazing team, a child abuse response team, and they do a really amazing job to respond to those reports. I don't think any community is exempt from free of child abuse. I don't think we're any worse than any other community.
Tell us about, when you talk about your team, what I really wanted you to talk about today is what you're doing at McMahon Ryan, because there have been a lot of improvements and changes, and it sounds like you're really on the front line of fighting child abuse. Tell us about that.
I mean, a few years ago, Dr. Bautash and Martha Ryan obviously started the child advocacy site over on West Onondaga. And not to speak for Dr. Bautash, but it was their dream to have a fully functional child advocacy center with having all those services in one building. And we've been able to do that in the last 6-7 months. And our team is made up of the sheriffs and the city police abuse persons unit. So we have 14 detectives on site. It's also the child protective sex abuse investigation unit. So there's 7 child protective workers. There's mental health from Vera House and McMahon Ryan. So we have 3 full-time mental health providers. 3 advocates, and I'll let Dr. Bautash talk about the care clinic.
The care program has been at Upstate for, you know, many years, since 1990, and we shared space at McMahon Ryan and also at Upstate up until last December, actually, when we moved our entire program over to the new site on East Genesee. And what we found, I think, with all of us there, which we have a nurse practitioner, a nurse, 2 physicians, social worker, and an education person who helps us manage our child abuse education for medical professionals. So what we found is that we're actually able to do our work in an easier way. We have everything right there. We have all the people right at our fingertips. If we have a question about a particular history that a child gives us, we can just run downstairs and ask someone, and vice versa is true. They can come upstairs and see us and show us a picture, you know, ask us, what does this fracture mean? Or, you know, somebody reported this, but, you know, do you need to see this child too? And we can say yes or no. And usually we say yes, but it's a nice way of being able to communicate immediately in a situation. And these, that didn't happen in the past. In the past, it happened slowly.
So at one time, you were basically, you had all these different individuals or groups kind of separated. Now you're all literally under one roof. And where is that?
It's at 601 East Genesee Street. So, yeah, we've taken 50 to 60 people from all their different agencies and co-located them all under one roof.
And they're basically, you basically have a public-private partnership, in a sense. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Government, not-for-profit, the hospital are all collaborating, and they've done an amazing job in the collaboration.
So how does it work exactly? In other words, you get a report. I mean, how does someone come, for example, to your care clinic? How would a child end up in your care clinic, for example?
It's multifactorial, really. There's so many different places that a report can come in to Child Protective Services. So sometimes we'll get a call from another doctor's office, and the care program will get that call, and the whole situation may not have been reported. And then the report will happen, and then Child Protective will get involved. And we started, you know, the ball rolling. Other times Child Protective gets the call directly from, you know, a neighbor or another, you know, family member or something like that. Other times McMahon Ryan will get a call directly to their phone number. And many times, you know, Vera House. So any of these agencies may get the call first. And that's what I think has made it so complicated in the past, because you don't always know which other agencies are involved. And the way that it's set up now is all of us should be involved, and we all should have been, you know, from the very beginning. And whether we're minimally involved or more involved, that we can decide, you know, right up front once the case is reviewed. And it makes a big difference, I think, for the child and family in getting the services that they really need, because they don't know necessarily what they really need. And, you know, I'm not saying we always know either, but I think at least we can provide them that access that we couldn't do before.
So you're really functioning as a team.
Absolutely.
I mean, even though you have all these disparate groups, you're really kind of teaming together for the protection of the
Absolutely.
Child.
Absolutely. The Child Abuse Response Team here in Onondaga County is a multidisciplinary team, and their mission is to work as a team to reduce the trauma for these kids and these families during this very difficult time.
Do you have meetings where you might be presenting a case and members of the various components of the team actually weigh in on it?
We have monthly meetings with a large group, and then we also have weekly meetings that we review all the cases that come from the State Central Registry. And yes, we have all those core components, law enforcement, child protective, medical, mental health, advocacy, all there at the table.
So once you've got a case and you recognize there's need for intervention, what are the services we have, just in the little bit of time we have left? Basically, what overview do you offer the families?
Well, for the medical piece of it, it's pretty straightforward. We're going to be doing an examination. We're looking for, you know, infections. We're looking for injuries. We're looking for, you know, anything that we might need to treat. But we're also looking to make sure that every other agency is involved, and to make sure that they, if they get their mental health, you know, taken care of, whatever their issues are. And I think each agency has their own focus and area that they're good in. So Vera House obviously, you know, works on not only advocacy, but also providing the mental health services. We have advocates right at McMahon Ryan that help the clients, they call them clients, we call them patients, mm-hmm. work through the system. We have the police right on site, both the county and the city police. And we have the DA's office. We have
the county attorney's office
and Child Protective Services.
We have left. You've been doing this a while. What are the results of your intervention at this point? What would you say in a general sense? Do you think we're doing a better job? We're helping these families?
We're definitely doing a better job. And I can say that just anecdotally, with the families that come into the building, what they're saying to us, what they feel, what they're seeing, how they feel like things have progressed. I think most people come into the system confused and overwhelmed, and having this center has helped them to feel better.
If people want to get involved or help, what would you say?
The biggest thing is to know the signs and symptoms of child abuse and also report it. The local child abuse hotline is 422-9701, but we have to get the community involved and hopefully get this communication continuing about child abuse.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for coming in and getting that communication out there. My guests have been Dr. Ann Botash, professor of pediatrics at Upstate Medical University and a nationally recognized expert in child abuse evaluation, and Julie Cecil, executive director of the McMahon Ryan Child Advocacy Center. We'll be right back with more HealthLink on air right after this break, so please stay with us.